My uncle, who's a priest down in New Mexico, who I've spoken of before, told me an interesting story. He was going on a tour with, or a pilgrimage with his parish throughout England. And one of the places that they went to was Canterbury. Now, Canterbury is where the faith first came, through Augustine of Canterbury, first came to the English people. And from there, it spread throughout the British Isles. He showed up, and he was supposed to say Mass there. The tour group had worked this out for him. And while the sacristan was getting things ready, the chalice and the bread and so on, he asked my uncle, would it be all right if one of the priests assigned to this cathedral says Mass with you? They haven't had a chance yet. And he said, oh, that'd be fine. I'd be more than happy. So as he's getting his vestments on, a woman in a Roman collar comes in. It was then that he realized that the Cathedral of Canterbury was an Anglican church. Now, I didn't tell him this, but I even realized that. But he realized that it was an Anglican church, and he saw, and the woman saw the shock on his face and said, are you a Catholic priest? And he said, yes, I am. I thought that this was a Catholic church. And she said, well, it was, and you know what, it will be again. Pretty interesting. And she said, you know what, Father, you say Mass here with your group, and I'll say Mass later. And he said, okay. So he had a little Magnificat with him, and he said Mass with his little group. Because Canterbury had been one of those cathedrals that when Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic Church in the 16th century, was pulled away from the church and became an Anglican church, an Anglican cathedral. In fact, the primary cathedral for the Anglican church, just as it was before for the Catholic Church in England. So when we think about that, about the idea of these two groups, one of which was sort of there to begin with, and the other one which broke away, that's sort of a flavor of what we can get for today's gospel. Because the Samaritans were a group who became separated from the Jewish people in Jerusalem. They still had the same sort of lineage, but they began to worship on Mount Gerizim, which was not what was dictated in the Jewish law. And around that, once you separate yourself from the original tradition, other things creep in. And they began to worship in their own way and have their own set of beliefs that were similar, but not the same to the original Jewish beliefs. So it's not unlike the Catholic Church and those that have broken away. Originally, the Anglicans were very close, but over time drifted and have a whole set of different beliefs at this point, even though much of the liturgy and the things around it, the visuals, look similar. And Jesus, then, is the bridge, because the Jews really had nothing to do with the Samaritans. It even says that that they would not share anything in common. So he didn't have his own bucket. That's why the woman was shocked that he was asking to get water for him, because that would mean that he would have to use her bucket. That's how strict this division was. And Jesus does say that salvation is from the Jews and that they worship what they understand. That the Samaritans had come so far away from what they originally believed in the Jewish faith that now they were worshiping something that was not quite the same as what the Jews were worshiping in God. So now we have a situation where Jesus is saying, eventually, this division won't matter. Because although salvation comes from the Jews, because Jesus is first and foremost a Jew, the spirit and truth in which we will worship Christ will overcome that. That this salvation which starts with the Jews will be spread to everyone else. And this is where we find our great hope. Because you and I, for the most part, I'm sure there are some Jewish converts, but 99% of us come from ancestries that were at this point in history probably pagan. Whatever continent our ancestors came from. So this great hope of spirit and in truth is where our salvation originates. So what do we mean by that? Well, there's the whole idea of water, and we see that throughout all the readings. That should give us an idea that it begins with baptism. God is no longer located in the temple, which Jesus has already predicted will be destroyed. Rather, instead of being out there in Jerusalem, it's going to be in here, in our souls. And that's going to be through this living water, through this baptism, common to all Christians. Then, from there, we have that strengthening through confirmation. But both of these, when we talk about spirit and truth, we're directed towards the liturgy. Because we'll hear time and time again in the liturgy this idea of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In other words, not in a concrete location anymore, but wherever God is located, which is first in our hearts, and then in a particular way in the Eucharist, which all baptized Catholics have that access to, no matter where they are in the world, no matter who they are or what country they're worshiping in. That's why we call it the true presence. It is the spirit and truth of God. And God's also present to us in the Scriptures, the witness of Christ. He's present in His living Word. So when we come to Mass, we really have to think about that idea of spirit and truth. And there's two ways that we can really engage that. One is by listening to the Gospel as if it's being preach directly to us, as if Jesus is talking not to the woman in Samaria, but to us in some way. That there's something there that we can understand. If we really open our minds that way and our hearts, then we begin to really know Christ. If we just listen to it as if it's something that was written years ago, as it was, but that it's not also living, then we lose the whole message. And then when we come up for communion, which is made possible because God is already living within us through our baptism, that we really invite Him in, that we spend time thinking about how this is not just going to be a part of my spirituality, but actually change me. How will I be different after I receive this communion than I was before? We really understand that if we get the message of the Gospel and we receive the Eucharist with the devotion, then little by little we will become changed. The people in Samaria told the woman that we no longer believe because of your witness to us, but because we've actually come to know Him during the 2 days that He was here. We don't have to rely just on the witness of those who knew Christ when He walked the earth through the Gospels. We can actually come to know Him living in the Gospels. Jesus only spent 2 days with them, and He spent those 2 days in a less intimate way than He has with us. He was for them an external reality. For us, He lives within us. Can we really say that we don't believe in God just because of other witnesses? That's the beginning. But because we've truly come to know Him as a person. That's the goal. So two resolutions. That we encounter God in the Word and in the Eucharist. And if we do that every day that we come to Mass, then Sunday by Sunday we'll come to know God more and more personally. And we'll believe not because others have told us about Jesus, but because we know Him, we love Him, and we serve Him.